Love
Welcome to Diva of Days of Our Lives. We are so thrilled to have with us as our guest today, Judy Evans, who has returned to Days of Our Lives as Adrian Kyriakos. While Days viewers know her as Adrian, as well as her other role, Bonnie Lockhart, Judy has also portrayed Beth Raines on Guiding Light, Paulina Corey on Another World, and Maeve Stone on As the World Turns. Judy won a Best Supporting Actress Daytime Emmy Award in 1984 for her role as Beth on Guiding Light. Also in 2008, she was again nominated for Best Supporting Role as Adrian on Days of Our Lives. Please call us at 914-338-1239 if you have a question for Judy. We also take calls through Skype. I will be reminding our callers before we take the questions, but please, under our agreement with Days, Judy can't answer any spoiler questions about upcoming storylines for any of the characters, so please don't waste your question for something she can't answer. That having been said, Judy, welcome. We're so happy to have you here.
Well, thank you. I'm so happy to be here. So honored.
We're honored. We're all honored. That's great. So since the last time you were on the show as Adrian in 2007, a whole lot of changes have happened to Days of Our Lives, as so many of the other soaps. Days had to go through a massive budget cut and had to let go of some of the popular long-term veteran actors, cut down on their sets, took on a change in the head writer and in the executive producer. Do you feel like it's kind of coming to a different show now?
You know, I think it's honestly the way it's looking to me, in my opinion, is it's going back to the roots of what soap opera is really about. Two people talking and talking about what's going on in their lives. And there's some action, but for the most part, it's about relationships. It's about love. It's about the day-to-day, you know, momentum of family. So I think it's really getting back to what's really popular, not the, you know, special effects. I mean, the sweeping remotes where they would go to, you know, foreign countries are beautiful, but, you know, what you really got to be able to do is tell story. That's, I think, what Days is really focusing on now. Characters, you know, what they're going through, and the story. And that's what's compelling about any show on television is story. Story, mm-hmm. story. It all is a written word.
So sort of going back to the basics.
Right.
Without all the frills. Yeah.
Exactly. And frills are great and they're beautiful and all, but the frills are always, you know, unfortunately expensive. And sometimes the frills overtake what it's really about, which is story, you know, becomes something visual instead of something emotional.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, certainly in the 80s they were, the thing I'm thinking about right now is the big wedding, Justin and Adrian wedding in 1987, where,
right.
You know, you could tell Days was not going through a recession at the time because,
no.
You know, they were out in Greece, the whole cast was there, you were wearing this designer wedding gown, and it was really a spectacle, but it was beautiful. But, yeah, I suppose in the 80s, there were so many spectacles like that going on that, you know, it sort of became the norm for a while.
Right. And believe me, I was very pleased, very honored to be on the receiving end of that. So, you know, unfortunately, you know, they can't do that anymore. But it was great while it lasted. But there were, you know, even back then, though, at Days of Our Lives at that point, they may have done the being grand remotes, but they always focused on story.
It was
you know, woven into the beauty of the landscape and what they were doing, but it was always about story. And I think sometimes, I don't know, not necessarily, I'm not, you know, Days in particular, but I think a lot of shows got away from telling stories with special effects and running this and doing that, things that really are highly expensive and kind of taking the place of what, you know, good old-fashioned story.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what Days is doing now, really character-driven, not, you know, action-driven, you know, character-driven, emotional story.
Yeah. Well, even with, I was just thinking, you know, with the Greek wedding, I think they did do well with letting us know who the Kyriakos family was. I think they really fleshed out who Victor was and who Justin was, and then why Adrian was, you know, had second thoughts about going down the aisle to marry him, because I thought they handled that very well. You got the spectacle, you got the beauty of the, and the romance, but then you also, they were able to interweave the character with it.
Right, and other characters too, the whole John and, Roman and, because it was Roman at that time, Roman and Diane.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they wove a couple of stories in together.
Uh-huh. Well, speaking of Justin, now you are back working with Wally Kurth again, which so many Days viewers are excited about. Was it easy to get back to, into the old acting groove with him again, or did you guys have to sort of get reacquainted after working separately for so many years?
It was so funny, because Wally and I had seen each other a couple times over the years at events, and, you know, talked on the phone a few times. We've kept in touch. But, you know, we don't work together, and I think for me, I was like a little like, wow, you know, wonder, you know, what it's going to be. But, and we didn't have, you know, we didn't get together ahead of time. We saw each other that morning, kind of in the makeup room briefly, quick rehearsal, and then we were out on the floor. And whatever apprehension, I don't know about him, that I had, was gone the second my character turned around and looked at him. It was like no time had passed, that yesterday it was 1990. Or 91, whichever it was, and we had just worked together the day before. It was amazing. I've never experienced that. I've never had the chance to experience that before, but I just didn't know if it would happen. You know, you just never know, and it was like, wow, so wonderful, and just turning around, looking in his eyes, there was so much there. It just, it was like the most natural thing. It was wonderful.
Yeah, I think we're seeing, I mean, I'm certainly seeing it on the screen with a recent scene they just showed, they just aired with Justin and Adrian in the pool room and, you know, playing pool. And then, you know, you could tell they were having trouble with their marriage, but then there was still that old magic there, I think.
Oh,
so it's coming across, definitely.
I'm glad. He's such a wonderful actor, but more importantly, he is a wonderful person that makes it so easy. He makes it, it's not working with Wally. It's fun, easy, you know, treasured moments.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, you often have played characters that were part of that 80s term known as the super couple. you were Beth and Lou Jack on Guiding Light, and Jake and Pauline on Another World, and Justin and Adrian on Days. And why aren't the super couples super anymore? I mean, do you think that that's sort of a trend that's just gone along with all the flash, with all the location shoots and all the fancy stuff? Do you think that's something they're just trying to get back to, a more realistic style of storytelling?
You know, I think sometimes, you know, it's, and no one knows, I mean, what makes a super couple. I mean, you can't, there's no formula, there's no, well, definitely this and this. It's, you know, two people who click together. And when they work on screen, they click together. And I think when stories wonderful and characters are really, you know, written true to form, I think the super couple, you can't make a super couple, it just is. And I personally, I don't think those days are over. I think, you know, it's there with with good writing and, you know, actors who are, you know, dedicated to their craft and just have that certain something when they work on screen together that clicks. I mean, Sammy and EJ, that's, you know, only in the last couple of years. And I would consider them definitely a super couple, still mm-hmm. Beau and Hope. It's still there. It's still there,
mm-hmm.
I think.
Yeah, you have a good point. Maybe it's because I remember there were so many super couples, like, in, you know, it was like every, there were almost too many, I guess, at one time, and now they've sort of toned back a little bit.
Or maybe we need to just figure out a different name for it, because, you know, maybe everybody's tired of the name super couple. Oh, my God. You know,
yeah.
Maybe we just have to think of, you know, Dyna couple, or I don't know.
Well, I remember once someone said Uber couple. So one of the most powerful scenes, I think, that I had seen you do on Days was the storyline where Steve Johnson bursts into the room and Adrienne's there in the bed, and Duke Johnson had just attacked her, and she's holding the gun, and he takes the gun from her, wipes the fingerprints off, and says that he shot Duke. And that was, to me, such a powerful scene. And I know that also you played Beth on Guiding Light, where that character was also a sexually abused character. As an actress, how do you prepare to play a role that's so intense like that?
What was it like to play?
Yeah, like how did you have to sort of research, or did you just go on instinct? How was it to play a part that was that intense?
Definitely both. A lot of research, and the internet wasn't available. So talking to people, going to rape crisis centers, and going on instinct. I mean, it's very hard, because especially those, you know, stories on soaps last a long time, so you kind of have to stay in that place. You step out of it, you know, when your day is done, but you got to kind of stay in that frame of mind somewhere in your heart. The whole, you know, it's always got to be a part of you, like it is a part of a person.
Uh-huh.
And so it can be very difficult. It can be very exhausting. And as an actor, I like to try to play things as if they, I mean, I try not to act. I mean, that it's happening to you, and you feel, there are many times that my heart actually physically hurts when I'm playing scenes like that. So it's a lot of it is just letting yourself go and letting yourself, you know, we don't like to feel pain. We do everything to resist feeling pain, but it's in those situations that you have to kind of turn that off, that, you know, spigot off and turn the other one on of let it hurt, let it be painful, let it be as ugly and as excruciating as possible, because you want to portray it as real as possible. And even though it's written very real, but also with a very dramatic, you know, point of view too. So it's a fine line to walk, but, you know, I mean, I think everyone's been touched in some way, whether it's with they've been personally touched or they've known someone, you know, it's getting people to open up about that, you know, awfully difficult, but when they do, I think, you know, it's cathartic for them, and also you can have some insight into how to play these characters.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah, a lot of reading, a lot of talking with people, and,
uh-huh,
you know, just from in life experience.
Excellent. Well, let me go ahead and take this caller who's waiting for us here. Assuming my switchboard's okay. Area code 248, you're on the air.
Yep, it's me. It's Rose.
Oh, hi, Rose.
Hi. Yeah, I'm using my sister's phone today with a different area code, so that could have thrown you a little bit. She's got some minutes. Hi,
uh-huh,
Judy. This is a real honor to talk to you.
Oh, thank you, Rose. Nice to meet you.
Oh, it's nice to meet you. I'll tell you, you really are the consummate actress, and I'll tell you why I feel that way, and then I'll get to my question. I watched you, you know, as Adrienne, and I was a big, huge fan of Another World for years from the beginning, and I saw you as Paulina, and you transformed from the bad girl to the, you know, and then with Jake, and then with Joe in the end, and that marriage, and your troubles in that marriage on the show, and then back on Days of Our Lives. But what really, you have the ability to make people feel, you know, even we forget the previous actor, or I'm sorry, the previous character while we're currently watching you on the show, and we get into your character this time around, and you make us feel again, you know, that you give us the emotions like hate and anger and love, and you know what I'm saying. And okay, what intrigues me like
thank
this time on Days,
that's
yeah,
the highest compliment I think anyone could ever have. Thank you.
Really, you make us forget the previous character for the time being or while we're watching, and we can really get into your current portrayal. Okay, and but your portrayal of Bonnie Lockhart was intriguing, because again, as a fan and people out there in the public, we can relate to that because I had an ex-sister-in-law just like Bonnie.
Oh, yeah.
If you get my drift. I mean,
oh,
you...
We all have someone in our family or someone we know.
And that's what... I loved Bonnie. I hated Bonnie. I wanted to slug her sometimes, you know. You made us feel... okay. My question is, how did you and the powers that be at Days of Our Lives, how did you create the character of Bonnie? What did they tell you when they wanted Bonnie? What did you do?
It was kind of funny. No, I have to say, it's all them. All them. It was the writing. It was the producing. I got a call. I was going on a trip with my husband and my son, and I got a call out of the blue from my agent saying, you know, there's this role coming up on Days, and they'd like you to test for it. And I said, Adrian's going to do that? And he said, no, it's another character. And he, you know, quoted me the character breakdown in the audition. I was like, wow, really? No, really? And so it was all them. I mean, it was their creation. And, you know, I got to say the words. I got to do the fun deed. But... They really accepted any input, but I personally feel there's a time when I'm a writer, there's a time when I'm a producer, I do that and other things, but when I'm an actor, that's what I am, and what they write, it's my job to say, no matter how much, how little, or what it is, whatever they write, it's my job to perform it. It's not my job to write it, it's not my job to produce it. I have input, you know, you know, whatever I'm feeling that I'm feeling in the character, if it doesn't seem authentic to them, they will tell me. But, you know, and I could put certainly my own emotional spin on it. But, you know, I feel as an actress, my job to act. It's not my job to write or produce or anything else. What they want is what I'll give them. And,
well,
you know, whatever it is that how I rise up with that.
You did such a great job of playing a trashy Bonnie, sorry if I use that word, but she was a hoot. I used to sit here and just laugh at some of the things she did, or her interaction with Farrah Fath or Mimi. I mean, the mother and daughter chemistry going on there. I mean, you could really relate to it. I mean, it was fantastic, and it was Farrah with a character. I'm sure you probably had some camaraderie on the set. Did you two get along great on the set? Or?
Oh, definitely, definitely. In fact, when I was in New York over the summer doing As World Turns, we got together for dinner a couple of times. She's a doll. I adore her. She always cracks me up. She's a very funny girl. And it makes it easier, you know, when you know someone and you have a good camaraderie with them personally, it always makes it a lot easier to go all out and take risks in scenes because you have that trust factor. You know that person's there for you, and you're there for that person, so go where you're going to go, and we'll go together. So we definitely had that kind of chemistry, I guess, together. And she was a lot of fun to work with, and I got to tell you, that character was a lot of fun to play because, you know, it's not, you know, I got things that you don't normally get to play in quote-unquote soap operas and do things and try to, you know, do awful things and try to come from the point of view of, well, this is how, you know, we don't ever go out and plan to do bad things. We always kind of bad things, but we find a way to justify it. I'll, you know, try to find the heart behind the bad deed. And sometimes it was very, very challenging. And it was fun to be challenged like that. I got to tell you, really fun. I had to do a lot of extra homework, believe it or not.
Well, I know Rose will appreciate this question because both Rose and I are fans of Steve Blackwood, and we had him on the show last month. And he had actually said that he thought that the writers were going to pair up Bart and Bonnie for a while after this big striptease number when Bart was, like, you know, comically playing the stripper. And then the writers decided, oh, they didn't want to go there. Did you ever hear any rumors from the writers, any indication or hint that they might have paired Bart and Bonnie together?
No, but I was hoping to because it would have been really hilarious, I thought, you know, because he was really great, and I would have loved to work with him some more and, you know, just to you know, quote unquote evil people who are, you know, pretty good at heart, but a little wimpy in their direction would have been really funny. Kind of, you know, maybe like a Calliope and Eugene sort of relationship, you know, the comic relief. But they didn't, and, you know, and it was probably, would have, in the realm of the show, I could see that it could probably be kind of distracting as far as the way, you know, the shows always have a theme, you know, and you don't want to get too far away from the main theme because then it kind of doesn't gel. So I can see maybe why, or maybe who knows, maybe, you know, no one loves it. I don't know.
It would have been an interesting twist. I would have liked it. Yeah.
Yeah, because I don't think Bonnie ever really had a guy in her life. It was always that creepy ex-husband of hers. But,
yeah. And you know, she didn't have a real relationship. I think she did have, somewhere deep down, you know, authentic feelings for Mickey. And certainly there was more love there for her than met the eye, you know.
Mm-hmm.
She's probably never been, as way I played it, never been with somebody who was actually that caring. It was more like one-night stands or guys who just like to, you know, kind of trample over her, which is part of what gave her that kind of angry, bitter edge, I think. So I think there was a lot of love there with Mickey because he really genuinely cared for her as a person. And I don't think, you know, maybe that's another reason she screwed that up so much, because she didn't know how to deal with that.
I thought the same thing.
Dead wife coming back to life.
What I really related to with that Bonnie thing was didn't she take Maggie's clothes and sell them? Well,
yeah.
That's something my ex-sister-in-law did do.
Oh,
she sold a lot of the family stuff.
Did stuff like that.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, that's awful.
Yeah.
Well, we have another caller on the line.
I'm
think it's
so
my.
Sorry.
Yeah, I think it's my friend Carrie. Let me see here.
Hi.
Hold on.
Hello.
I'm trying to get her on here. Hello, are you here?
Hi. Do you guys hear me?
Yes. Okay.
Hi, Judy.
Hi.
Yeah, I've been a fan of yours, just like Rose. I watch this Adrian and Paulina and Bonnie, and you're just fantastic in all those roles. And this question just popped in my head. One of my favorite scenes of you as Bonnie was the Brady Chloe wedding, where Bonnie had one of her fantasies, and basically she kissed every single male guest at the wedding.
It's a rough job, but
I know, for someone, basically your character was only linked really with Mickey, but I think you kissed like half a cast.
Definitely. Oh yes, I remember that day well.
And my favorite person, you kissed Drake, and you guys both turned to the camera and said, "That's a fact."
That was hilarious. The writing on that was just so funny. Loved it.
She kind of lived the life. You know what I mean? She just balls the wall and she did her thing and. You know, I mean, that must have been so much fun. But Adrian can be a bit of a drag sometimes. She's had such a rough life. But, you know, Bonnie kind of, you know, takes the lemons and makes lemonade sometimes. Even if it's, you know, illegal lemonade and she stole the lemon. But, you know what I mean?
I know. We lived life with no apologies. Just, you know, this is what I need to do and this is what I want to do. And she was a very... very visceral type character, definitely. And,
mm-hmm.
You know, there was a lot to despise about her, but I always thought there was a lot to love about her, too.
Oh, I adore Bonnie.
That everybody wanted to say but was afraid to say.
Yeah. Yeah, and I wanted to ask you about Another World quickly. Were you aware there was a rumor online, maybe a fan wishful thinking, they wanted to bring Tom Eplin on Days to play Mr. Lockhart? To play Bonnie's ex-husband. I was wondering if that was ever a possibility or was that just, you know, internet rumors?
You know, I never heard anyone say that, but that's not to say that it wasn't, you know, discussed. You know, just a lowly actor. Nobody tells me anything. But I hadn't heard that. I hoped there was a hope in me that that would be great, because I haven't seen Tom since Another World ended, and I miss him. I think about him so often, and then I don't know. He just kind of I'm not sure. I've heard rumors about where he is. I have no idea. So I would have loved to have been able to work with him again. He is a blast.
Mm-hmm. Well, that'd be a great love triangle. I get Adrian, Justin, and maybe bring Jake McKinnon
to
Salem.
That would certainly be an interesting dynamic.
Yeah, I loved Jake and Paulina. That was, I mean, I like Jake and Vicky too. And Pauline and Joe were good too, but Pauline and Jake just had a, you know, a certain chemistry that Pauline and Joe kind of didn't have. Maybe because Jake was a bit edgier than Joe was.
They were both edgy, but they both accepted each other for who they were. They understood
mm-hmm.
each other because they were cut from the same cord.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you took over the role of Pauline. If I remember, they had just the skinny little blonde girl playing her initially, and she basically did nothing with the role, but then you stepped in, and everybody was kind of mad that they had, basically Mac had an affair and produced his daughter, and then that came out of nowhere, and no one was real happy with that, and then when you entered the role, then Paulina became a fan favorite, and I think that says a lot about you, that you stepped in the role that of a character no one really liked, and made her a fan favorite.
Going back to the story, the writing was so great on that show. And when I came on, because I think they really liked the character, and I don't know what went down before I got there. All I know is that when I did come, when they asked, you know, had me come on, I had originally auditioned for Vicky and Marley with Jessica Tannen. And they hired her as Vicky Marley, and then like a month later, they called me up and said, you know, they called my agent, and we're thinking maybe, you know, we don't want to say anything because, you know, the actress is still here, but we want to see her for maybe something else.
Mm-hmm.
And when they hired me, I remember Michael Lightson saying to me, listen, go out there, do whatever you want. If we need to pull you back, we will. Go out there and just do whatever you want with the character. And that kind of constant kind of trust opens mm-hmm. you up and frees you so much as a performer that, you know, it was, I hadn't worked in that kind of realm before where, you know, you go, and if we have to pull you back, we'll pull you back. But, you know, we trust you. We worked with you before. Go for it. It's like, really? Are you sure you're talking to me? Okay. So they gave me a lot of support at that show, and a lot they were really let me know that they were behind me 100%, and it was an honor to feel that way. I mean, I was just, you know, I'm just an actor, and that's all I do. You know, I don't really think it's that great, that important, but it was nice to hear that and feel that way, and gave me a confidence I'd never had before in a role.
Mm-hmm.
So, which is what I think the character really needed to have, is that kind of, you know, real confidence deep at the core, that fighter, scrapper spirit.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to go let someone else call, but I'm going to say, too, that you look fabulous, and make sure that gets said by someone. You look incredible, and I was so struck with your first scene on Days with Wally, and just looking at each other, the chemistry was still there. And I was just so impressed.
Aww.
Just by a look, you guys still have it, you know, the chemistry between the two of you. So
thank you.
Thank you
so much. Thank you. I'm so glad I got a chance to talk to you.
Thanks. Yeah, thanks so much for doing the interview with us. We really appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
thank you.
Yeah. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, we have someone else waiting, a Skype caller, so I'm trying to get the Skype caller in here. Oh, she just bumped up. Right. Hello? Majus 52? Oh, I think I put her on.
Diva?
Hello? Okay, hi.
Hi, this
on
is Meg.
Hi, Meg.
Hi, I just have a quick question for Judy.
Hi, Meg.
Hi, Judy, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Thank you. I just wanted to thank you for doing this interview. The fans really enjoy it. And I also wanted to ask, when you got the call to come back as Adrian, did you go back and review some of your past work to settle back into the character?
Well, that's so funny because my husband kept saying to me, you should watch some of your episodes. You have stuff on YouTube. They have stuff on. You should watch it. And I said, I don't know. You know, we kept discussing it. I kept saying, well, I don't know. The character's grown a lot in 20 years. So to watch that might, color the fact that we've grown past that, And he kept saying, you should watch it. So we sat down one night right before I went back to watch a little bit. And I'm really critical of my work, and I really, when I watch it, I normally just hate what I see. Whatever it is in my stupid head, I'm like that. And I watch it, and I was like, no, I hate it. I can't watch anymore. I'm leaving the room. And I was like, it will be what it'll be. I played it. I was there. It's their history. I can't watch it again because I was like, oh, no, once was bad enough for me. But he was so funny. My husband's very, very supportive. And I meant to tell the story, too, to the last lady we were speaking to when she brought up that fantasy about all the guys that Bonnie had to kiss. And it was funny because about 4 o'clock that morning I was getting up to go to work. My husband got up with me, and he walked me to the door and yawning and waving to me, said, but, honey, have fun kissing all the boys. He's very... very supportive man, and he always never gets involved in my work, but sometimes he'll like he did with that. You really should watch. Maybe that'll help you. Maybe you should, because he knew I was nervous about it. I mean, to walk into a character that you hadn't played in 20 years is, kind of daunting, because it's like, wow, am I gonna be able to do that? So it was funny, and he kept pressuring me, and then we went, and I was like, oh no, I can't do it.
Well, thank you so much for answering my question. Have a nice day.
You too. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
So, I know I'd also heard that you are also working as a family service counselor at Rose Hills Memorial Park. Are you still doing that now that you're on the show?
I still am. It's been one of the most, if not the most, rewarding emotionally jobs I've ever had. And I'm not contract on days. I don't know if I'm working, I know I'm working one day next week or whatever, but I don't know. And even when you're on contract, you really don't know. So I don't work that many days a week, and I'm still able to book, and it's helping people and doing something from the other side of the brain is so amazing. So I really trying my best to be able to do both without too much burden to handle at both ends.
Yeah, well, that's got to be. What made you decide to go into that line of work?
Well, I didn't. I as you get older as an actress, the roles, it's a youth-oriented business, so the roles aren't as even the auditions, you don't have as many auditions. And I'm not really good about sitting around and waiting for something to happen. I either going to go out there and do something else or what have you. But I didn't go to college because I was working from the time I was 18. I went to a couple years. I was in college when I was 16. But, I didn't have a degree. And I don't know. It was just I needed to do something, and I was going a little bit crazy. And unfortunately, when I go crazy, I make my husband and my son crazy, which is not a good thing. And I just didn't know where to go. I didn't know what to do. I acted all my life. I didn't know who the heck I was if I wasn't an actress. So I was sitting with my girlfriend on the beach one day and going over it with her. I have no idea what I'm going to do with the rest of my life. And, I'm tired of being told that, there's not enough for a woman your age. I didn't think 40 or 44 or whatever it was, that my life should be over. I mean, I still felt young. I still thought I was young. I needed to be of service, needed to contribute something to the society. And she said, I had a friend who worked at Rose Hills, and they just loved it. Maybe to check that out. I went home that night, went online, I applied, and I went in for an interview the next week, and 2 weeks later I was working there. And I have been so happy with it. Originally I was over on the pre-need side, and now in the last 4 or 5 months I've been on the family service side, which is so much more rewarding even than the other side, because you're helping people through the most difficult time in their life. And, you know, if you can somehow comfort them and in some way, even the smallest way, maybe, you know, a glass of water, you know, anything at all, it's a great honor to be able to help people like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, you said that you that you started out on Guiding Light when you were 18. So most of your life you've been, you know, working around on a soap set. Do you ever feel like maybe do you feel like you ever missed out on anything by starting in working professionally and so consistently at such a young age?
Oh, no, not at all. The only thing that I ever regretted is that I didn't have a diploma. I didn't have a college education. I continued my own education with reading, and I watch a lot of, you know, the History Channel and things like that, and read a lot of books. And, you know, whenever I feel like I don't know something about something, I certainly try to investigate and figure it out. But I don't have a formal education as far as that goes. And I always regretted that, only because I felt like I was less than most people. I felt like, well, I don't have a college education, so I'm probably pretty stupid, which is a pretty stupid thing to think anyway. Mm-hmm. But that's the only thing I regretted. Socially, I was never a real social person. I was more of a loner my whole life. So that, in fact, I graduated high school a year early, and the kids I went to school said, "Oh, you're so stupid. See, here's the best year. You're missing the best year of your life." And I'm like, "Well, this is going to be the best year of my life. Maybe this isn't such a good thing." And I wanted to get on with my life and get going, and that never appealed to me. The social clubs and the hanging out and, wasn't my thing. So it was best to be out and, you know, doing. I wanted to pursue, I don't know, I wanted to grow up. I wanted to have, I wanted something different than most people that I went to school with. I mean, so I never look back and regret anything, and I think it was the best choice, and I thank God that I was so lucky and so young and so often. But the only thing I regret is not having sheepskin, not having a diploma, not able to say, yeah, I'm a college graduate. And later on in life, it has been a hindrance, because there aren't many, you know, careers that you can have without, you know, a college education. So... it was a little bit of a dichotomy.
Uh-huh. Well, it's funny just hearing it from the other side of the fence, because I do have a college degree, and often I ask myself, why did I waste 4 years of my life getting this degree when it hasn't done a darn thing for me? So you just feel comforted to know that there are people on the other side of the spectrum that feel exactly the opposite.
You know what? You just made me feel so much better. Thank you.
Well, since we're talking about your youth, I guess I should also mention, for people that don't know, that you actually grew up working in a circus. a tightrope walker? Was that what you were?
My parents were trapeze artists, and I was a clown from the age of 2 and a half.
Oh, a clown. Well, did that, instill in you sort of a love for performing, you think, just from...
Oh, I think I was a ham even before that, so I don't think it instilled it. The only thing that was different is I didn't realize that it was really different from what other. I figured everybody must have grown up like this, so I didn't think it was. I was not in. Once the circus, we stopped doing circuses and what have you. When I was in school, I had really no interest in performing, and I was actually at first pursuing kind of a career path of an interpreter. I really loved languages, and since fourth grade I was taking French and Spanish together and doing pretty well. And then I got involved in some advanced classes preparing you for, you know, college prep classes for medical school. So I was fully on my road, you know, my little path to becoming a doctor. That's what I really wanted to do. I wanted to be a geriatrician and, help people. And then my girlfriend talked me into doing the screenplay, and boy, oh boy, I don't know if it was the best thing or the worst thing that ever happened, but the days of being a doctor were over.
Someone in the chat room asked if your experience as a clown maybe was an inspiration with playing Bonnie at any time.
Well, you know, making people laugh, I learned at a very early age, making people smile, making people laugh is the greatest gift you can ever give or have. And, you know, it's the same in my everyday life. I do my best every day to make every person I come in contact with at least smile. So
mm-hmm.
I don't know if it had anything to do. I'm sure it had something, you know, that whole exhibitionist kind of thing probably helps with Bonnie, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, most of your soap experience has been based in New York, even though you've done days in L.A., but I believe haven't the rest of your soaps been based in New York?
Yep.
Yeah. What do you think, you know, I'm just thinking of this because of the recent move from, of all my children, and they moved from New York to L.A., for budgetary reasons and such. Do you think there's a big difference in how a soap is filmed in New York versus how it's filmed in L.A.?
There's definitely a completely different vibe, and I don't know if it has to do with the two different cities or what, but I always felt there was a completely different vibe. And a different look. There was always, to me, a different look between the East Coast soaps and West Coast soaps. I imagine it would be a little less expensive in a town that does that, you know, more readily, and real estate isn't as expensive in California as it is in New York City. So I don't know. I haven't watched all my children lately to see if the look of the show has actually changed. Has it?
Well, I have to admit, I don't watch it on a regular basis, so I don't know. Now in New York we only have One Life to Live left here. And I can tell, like, there's a difference on the screen. Just, it seems like to me the New York based soaps are usually work at a faster pace. It seems like
yes.
The storylines move faster than the LA based soaps, but, you know, maybe that's just my perspective. We do have another caller on the line, so let me see who this is. 314 area code, you're on the air.
Hi, Judy.
Hi.
Hi. I just want to tell you, I've loved you for years, and I was one of the people that would rewatch your scenes over and over and over as a teenager as Adrian, and I tuned in to see you, and I just feel like you are hitting the ball out of the ballpark, capturing Adrian again. I can feel, especially in the scene at the Cheating Heart with you and Wally, I could feel the years of marriage that weren't on screen, but I also could see Adrian behind it. You know, I could see it just seemed to really click. So what I'm wondering is, when you step into the character of Adrian, I notice a lot with your use a lot of vocal intonation, you know, for your particular character. Is that something you consciously think of, or do you consider yourself more of a method actress to get into the character? You know,
yeah,
just thinking about that.
It depends on the character, because I know, like with Bonnie, I was very conscious, especially in the beginning, of a lot of... Also, I think playing, a different character on a show previously, but I would concentrate a lot on different body movements and different voice. And when I came back as Adrian a couple of years ago, so quickly after Bonnie, I had to be very conscious, because I played Bonnie at that point for so long,
mm-hmm.
very conscious physically, verbally, you know, that about Adrian, because she had to be so different. And so different that it was so conscious that I think, honestly, my portrayal of Adrian wasn't really true to form, in my opinion, in that period right after Bonnie, because I wasn't able to be free with it because I was so caught up in not being singing like Bonnie.
Mm-hmm.
But this time, especially when I turned around, well, it's not conscious. sometimes my posture, I'll try to be a little conscious of my posture because I think, you know, it should be better anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, it's being with Wally. It's having that break, a nice longer break between the characters. I feel more like Adrian this time than I did the time in 2000, whatever it was, after mine.
Right. Well, I thought it was... Oh, no, I just thought it was even unnecessary that they even had your hair a different color the last time for Adrian, because I thought she could pull it off. You know, she doesn't even need that, you know, because you pulled off going from Adrian to Paulina for me, you know. And so I didn't even think that was necessary. But I just think the characters evolved perfectly, and I just feel like you couldn't be doing a better job at it. And I mean, it was the most exciting scene I've seen in a long time on Days for me personally, because
I was just
a big fan. Oh yeah, definitely. Back in the 80s. So it was like. Watching it, it was weird, like coming home again or something, watching that scene.
Uh-huh.
And because I was like maybe 13, 14 when I used to watch Adrian, and just to see it again, it's like, you know, I even showed it to my son, and like, I was your age when I used to watch them. So anyway, it was just really special to me, and you talk about like affecting people's lives. Well, that made my whole day. You know, that was just kind of exciting. I was able to cook, you know, nice to cook, you know, motivate me to cook dinner and clean, and you know, but
oh my gosh.
You can reach people that way. You know, I'm really excited about seeing you on, and you know, I hope I can see you on as long as possible. So I just want to thank you for all your work, and I really appreciate you doing the interview, and thanks, Diva.
Thank you so much for calling.
Thanks.
Just made tears come to my eyes. Thank you so
much. You made tears come to my eyes before, so oh my God, I'm crying. Okay.
Now we're even.
Thank you.
It's
a profound moment here on the Diva Show, folks.
Definitely.
Okay, I have a question from the chat room. Someone's asking, Stephen Nichols once said that when Adrian came on the show, it suddenly got harder. For example, the storylines were more intense. Were you ever aware that maybe that there was a shift in the intensity with the storylines when your character came on?
No. That's interesting. Wow. No, I didn't notice. I didn't at all. I mean, I watched the show sporadically before that, so I mean I certainly couldn't be a judge to that. But that's an interesting observation.
Yeah, well, you know what I think it was. Let me just throw my opinion out there: is that before we saw Steve Johnson as sort of the bad guy, and then we saw him as the romantic lead with Kayla, and then once Adrian and Joe Johnson and Duke Johnson all came on the scene, we started to see the real life behind Steve. You know, it wasn't just the guy with the patch anymore. We really got to see why he acted the way he did, and that's what you were talking about before with the character development. I think the bringing on of the Johnson family really added to the character development for Steve Johnson at that time.
Yeah.
So maybe that's what he was meaning by that. I don't know. And I thought that Joe Johnson, Joy Garrett. Thank you. I thought you and Joy Garrett were perfect casting too, because you guys looked like mother and daughter. I thought.
Oh.
I mean, it was so. It really came across on screen with that.
I truly loved her so much. I loved that woman. So much. She was a great lady and someone who had so much heart, and very talented actress. She was incredible and hilariously funny.
She made it work with every actor on the show, and she made, like, I remember the Matthew Ashford when he was playing Jack, and he was still being the bad guy, you know, the guy that raped Kayla and all that. She was the one, I think, through that relationship, the mother-son relationship, that really sort of started to make him more humanized, you know, more human again. And
right,
that
right.
sort of opened the door for the whole Jack and Jennifer storyline that came along later.
So yeah, and she was definitely a great actress. I know a lot of people still, you know, they watch the YouTube clips and they still love her.
She was great. She was a great lady.
So here comes a kind of a depressing question, I guess. So you've been on Guiding Light, Another World, As the World Turns, and all of these shows have been canceled. You know, As the World Turns is still on the air, but it's on its way
right.
out. Why do you think the soaps are struggling so much now?
Well, it's hard. I think, well, you know, a show needs to be able to sell advertising time. When it's hard to determine how many people are watching and, you know, how many people are actually able to watch the commercials as opposed to TiVo or VCR or what have you, I think it just you start to lose advertising dollars. And when you lose advertising dollars, you just can't keep a show on the air. And also, the shows that are on the air now have actually really down to really slashing the budgets. I mean, it used to be soaps were up until a few years ago kind of the dinosaur of the industry. They're still very expensive to produce, and yet they weren't bringing in the advertising dollars. Even without remotes, they were very expensive to produce on a daily basis. So without the advertising dollar, you know, you're going to go into the hole really quickly. And I think, you know, that may have happened. I don't know if, I mean, I've heard rumors to the effect that Procter & Gamble just didn't want to be in the entertainment industry anymore, to a lot of other, you know, who knows? Who knows? I'm sure there are a lot of contributing factors to show that has had the unfortunate, you know, cancellation. But I know that, I mean, the way they shoot it, the way the schedule is, they're bringing it in, especially like a day, they're bringing it in, and it's turning a profit. And it's the first time, you know, I think in a long time, they're beginning to really start to turn a profit because they've learned how to kind of catch up to the times as far as production, you know, and getting back to the root of, you know, not spending a lot of money on special effects and trips and this and that and, you know, remotes outside the studio, even if it's locally. I think they've just gotten back to, let's do some scenes, let's do scenes about characters, let's do story-driven scenes instead of object-driven or action-driven. And I think now, you know, if you can get a lot of people watching a show and you can, you know, make it for a reasonable amount of money, it's all about profit and loss. I mean, really, when you get down to it, unfortunately, anything in the entertainment business is music, movies, television. It's about does it make a buck? And hey, you know, if it gets people on the side, hey, that's not a, you know, that's a good thing. So I think for a long time they were still very expensive to produce and not bringing in the money. Unfortunately, advertising dollar didn't matter. I mean, the shows were great; they were phenomenal. As the World Turns, gotten like phenomenal shows. It just, you know, finding that balance of how to make a good show for as little money as possible and be able to make it this money. Because, you know, bottom line is they've got to make money for a network or the company that owns them or what have you in order to stay on the air. I mean, it's a good show, but, you know, eventually they have to, you know, end it because, you know, it's more expensive than the money that they're bringing in. I mean, I don't know if that's true about ER. It was just kind of like a observation of, you know, what it possibly could be.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, it's such a catch-22 with the internet because, I mean, I can just speak from the side of, you know, a fan and now a radio host that, you know, the internet is so much fun and you learn so much more when you're watching the shows and I've made personal friends through Days of Our Lives, just talking on message boards and such like that, and then people catch up on the past storylines that they never had a chance to see before on YouTube. And so in some ways it seems like the internet helps soaps in one way, but then obviously it hurts it in the other way with the advertising
right
problem.
So,
and it's just like they need to figure out a way how to work with the internet, I think, and restructure.
Definitely.
Restructure something somehow.
Well, I was noticing the other day, I was watching an episode that it aired on Days that it aired the day before. And, you know, when you watch them on NBC.com, you have no choice but to watch the commercials in between. So they're, you know, making a profit, therefore keeps it airing. it's sometimes, you know, they have to kind of figure out a way, or maybe there's a new way to slip in the advertising without having to have, you know, depend on commercial time, you know, sometimes product placement, what have you. There has to be some way in order for, you know, the sponsors to be able to, or advertising dollar to be able to come in. So I know they got to figure out something, but then it's not free too. So,
right.
You know, that's hard too. It just is. It's finding that balance. Finding that balance. When I watched, because I hadn't watched the show on the internet before, and I thought, well, that's really good. I mean, you have no choice. You have to watch. You can't fast forward through that commercial. So,
yeah.
You know, maybe that's making a difference.
Well, the upside is it's only 30 seconds of a commercial.
Right,
30 seconds
minutes.
At a beat instead of a whole bunch of commercials. So, and it's also really good quality. So everyone that wants to keep Days on the Air, watch Days on NBC.com. I have a question. One more question from the chat room. We got 5 minutes left, but I think we can squeeze it in. Someone wants to know, do you get along with Mary Beth Evans as well in real life as you do on screen? Your on-screen relationship comes off as exceptional.
Oh, definitely. She is, you know what, if you opened a dictionary and looked up the word sweet, it would have her picture. She is one of the most genuine people you could ever meet. You know, loves her family, loves her kids, loves making people happy, loves cooking for people. She's a genuinely happy person. You know, she comes to work. There's never, you know, oh, this is going on. No, she's a happy person, and she loves to be happy, and she loves to make other people happy. She's an inspiration as a person, actually. And she's so beautiful, too. I mean, but she is a really – I don't think you'll ever find anyone who didn't like Mary Beth Evans, ever.
Yeah. Well, I know she's missed on the show, and she's supposed to be coming back for the Frances Reed episode, so I know a lot of people are looking forward to seeing her again. Oh, you know, also, just on the lines of what we were talking about before, real quick, I know that you're seeing several soap actors now. They're also, like, branching out on their own and using the Internet to create their own shows, and Crystal Chappelle with Venice is one of them, Martha Byrne with Gotham. Is that something that you'd ever have an interest in either creating or acting on, with a show that would actually be shown on the web?
Oh, definitely. I was just talking to my publicist, Howie, the other day, and he was like, you know, you really should get involved in that. And it's like, oh, I didn't even think of that. You know, I am working two jobs, one day, 8-hour a week job, and the other one, you know, on days. So and I was like, wow, I didn't even think of that. I would definitely love to get involved in all three realms, writing, producing, and acting. I would love to. And he and I were kind of trying to spin something or think something. You know, I got to definitely get on that train, because I like that train a lot.
Well, a lot of people seem to think, there are a certain school of people, I should say, think that that is going to be the wave of the future, that soap operas aren't going to die on the air, but they may turn into something else. They may turn into
right.
The web shows. You know, Drake Hogeston has just recently been cast in Tristan Rogers' web series, Reality Bites. So all the time we're hearing about soap actors that are branching out into this sort of wild, wild west area of the web soap, and so it may be a way to, for at least the, you know, the daytime drama no longer to be daytime, but at least the continuing story to still survive, you know. So
yeah.
That's pretty exciting, I think.
Very exciting, very exciting.
Yeah.
We only have
90 seconds left, so thank you so much for being such a gracious guest. And I know that all of our fans really enjoyed talking to you, as did I. I've been having a hard time restraining the fangirl in me while doing the interview here.
I got to tell you, it's lovely because, you know, you work in a studio, your you know, reaction is from a camera. So it's nice to hear from people that, you know, what that it is getting out there, that they are being entertained. And everyone I've spoken to today has been so lovely, and I'm so grateful to everyone.
Well, we are grateful to you, Judy, for being here, and I wish you the best of luck on Days of Our Lives and with whatever future great things come your way.
And vice versa.
Thank you so much. And now I shall play our exit music.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That was so much fun. I can't tell you. You made my day.
Oh, well, you've made our day. It's a real treat to be able to talk to you on the net and to ask you interesting questions that, you know, you don't hear answers to all that much. So
that was very cool. And you're wonderful.
Oh, thank you.
Really wonderful.